ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Well, he was one of the great comedic talents of 20th century film. William Claude Duncanfield, also known as W.C. Fields, was an American comedian and actor and writer. With his top hat and drink-enlarged nose, his comic persona was a misanthropic and hard-drinking egotist who remained a sympathetic character, despite his snarling contempt for dogs and children. Of course, he was a great deliverer, too, of classic one-liners.
There's been a mistake in my change.
At long last, an honest man. Want to return some money?
No, I'm short.
Don't brag about it. I'm only 5'8" for sound.
I'm short in my money.
No mistakes, Rick. You fight afterwards, leaving the window.
You're dishonest.
Dishonest? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
You cheated us.
Sal, you impugned my honor. As my dear old grandfather, Litbach, said, just before they sprung the trap, he said, you can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break or smarten up a chump.
We want what's coming to us.
I'm going to get it, too.
You are?
Yeah.
You too?
Yeah, come on, give it to us.
You are certainly both going to get it. Look alive.
What do you mean by creating a mistake? Come on, get on.
Dear. Well, the world knows, of course, W.C. Fields most, I would think, for his films, particularly of the late 30s and the 1940s, when Fields was in his 50s and 60s. But he was different then because as a young man, he started in vaudeville. He was a great vaudeville entertainer and an expert juggler. I know. He came to Australia on a tour in 1903, brought out by a promoter where he wooed audiences by combining extremely advanced juggling abilities with his great sense of humour. He also ended up in a fight at the Melbourne Cup. Well, who doesn't? Leanne Richards is an historian. She's herself a juggler, and she's the author of What Goes Up? Australian Juggling to World War One. Her latest article is about W.C. Fields in Australia, Juggler Down Under. She joins us this evening. Leanne, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Oh, thank you, Philip. It's great to be here.
Great to have you with us, too.
Thank you.
What is known of the young W.C. Fields? Was he a star at that stage in the US or not really?
He was just beginning to become famous in the United States when he came out here. He was on the Orpheum circuit, which was one of the largest touring circuits in vaudeville in the United States at the time.
Yeah.
So he and his wife Hattie were performing there, and Harry Rickards, who was the Tivoli owner of the Tivoli in Australia, went to the United States.
This is the
and
Tivoli where, in Sydney or Melbourne?
The Tivoli circuit was all around the country.
Oh, because there were Tivoli theatres everywhere.
Yeah, there were Tivoli theatres everywhere.
So
yeah.
He saw W.C. Fields.
He saw W.C. Fields in the United States.
As a juggler.
As a juggler, yeah, and decided to bring him here.
Because at the time, vaudeville, that sort of physical comedy, vaudeville, was very popular, wasn't it?
Oh, of course, yes.
Still popular.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So he says to W.C. Fields, come out here. So at this stage, Fields hasn't moved into films at all, has he? No.
No. He didn't move into films until after he came to Australia. Yeah.
So he comes to Australia in his early 20s, but he was married at that stage, wasn't he? And his wife, Hattie, was part of his act. Did she come too?
Yes. Oh, well, originally she didn't come. Originally, Fields came with his brother, Walter. They had a pretty rough voyage over. But Walter just didn't have the sexy appeal that Hattie had on stage. So halfway through the tour, Fields said, oh, I'm going to cable Hattie. And he decided to ask Hattie to come along. So she came over in July, I think, when they came to Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was his act at that stage? Did he just juggle?
Well, it was juggling mainly, but it was comedic juggling. So he dressed up as a tramp in a fur coat that he found in the trash somewhere, and he wore motoring goggles, and he blackened his face to have a beard, and he got on stage and he took off his motoring gloves, and there were sort of weird sounds as he took the gloves off each finger. And then he started juggling with balls and with cigar boxes. And
he was pretty good, wasn't he?
Oh, he was really talented, yes, yes.
I mean, you're a juggler. How would you rate him?
Oh, out of 10? 9.5.
Okay, so he was that good, yeah.
He's very good. He was a very good juggler. But he was more of an entertainer.
Yeah.
Australia had already seen some really great jugglers. We'd already had Cincavelli here in 1902 and in 1899. So when
who was Cincavelli?
Oh, Cincavelli was the greatest juggler to ever visit Australia.
Really? Where was he from?
He was from Poland.
Oh, okay.
He was amazing. He would balance his assistant in a chair on his forehead.
Really?
And juggle, yes.
What, and juggle?
Yes.
With a bloke sitting in a chair balancing on his forehead?
Yes. He was pretty amazing. Okay,
that's pretty good. Mm-hmm.
But he was the most popular juggler in Australia, and everybody thought when Fields would come over, when Fields came, everybody thought, oh, he'll just be another Cincavelli, you know, just imitating him.
Mm.
But Fields was completely unique. He was silent through the whole thing.
Oh, so he never spoke?
He never spoke except to curse at Hattie.
Right.
When he dropped a ball. So when something went wrong, he would curse at Hattie or he'd curse at Walter. And he at some stages he would tell Hattie to leave the stage because he'd made a mistake and it was her fault.
What did he juggle?
He juggled balls mainly,
right.
And cigar boxes.
Not knives?
Not knives, no. No, no. Might have been a bit dangerous with the audience, yes, yeah.
But he was a vaudeville entertainer, wasn't he? And this is, of course, he uses these skills later in his films. But
yes.
It's a part of Field's life that I think a lot of people probably don't realise, that he had this great skill in juggling. But he not only used to juggle he didn't just throw balls up in the air, did he? He used to bounce them off. He would bounce them off his head and continue juggling.
Yeah.
He could bounce them off his arms and knees. And sometimes he could bounce them off the audience.
He would. He would throw them in the audience and catch them on the way back. Yeah, yeah. So there was a lot of bouncing. That's a common thing nowadays. People still do bounce juggling on the floor. But bouncing on your head and bouncing on your assistant's head and knees and stuff, not so much of that nowadays. But, probably OH&S issues with that at the moment.
Would he have been well remunerated for this? Would he have made money out of the tour, do you think?
Yes, that's one of the reasons he would have come here. The Tivoli Circuit paid their top performers very well.
Okay.
Yeah, so even by international standards. And the pace of the tour was much slower than in the United States.
So how long was he here for?
Oh, he was here for about three to 4 months, I think.
Oh, okay. Did he go everywhere or just?
No, just Sydney, Melbourne and Adelaide in 1903, and then he came back in 1914, yeah.
Just trying to think of what Australia was like back then. Gee, was it a quiet place, I imagine?
It was very small, I think, which...
Because Fields is born in Philadelphia, I think, wasn't
it? Yes, I believe so,
I think he dies in California, yes, you'd expect where the movies get made in the end.
Yes, yeah.
But he got into a fight at the Melbourne Cup, apparently.
Well,
everyone gets into a fight at the Melbourne Cup.
We think so. We think so. So in 1956, his wife Hattie told an American journalist that there was an argument between her and the grandson of Lord Byron.
Right.
But there's no record of Lord Byron's grandson
being
Australia. Yeah. But the thing Hattie got was that it was about a horse called Lord Cardigan, which was the winner of the Melbourne Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, another poet's relative was the Governor General, and that was Alfred Lord Tennyson's
son. That's
He was the Governor General.
He was the Governor General.
He was the Governor General.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. So, and Fields was performing during the Melbourne Cup. In Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
And then suddenly he wasn't.
So you mean he was performing at the Melbourne Cup?
No, he was performing at the Tivoli.
At the Tivoli, right. Yeah.
But the Melbourne Cup at that stage, they had lots of social occasions where all the artists were invited. So there were sort of like lots of dinners and lots of social occasions around the Melbourne Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And the Governor General was known for hanging out with theatricals because who else would you hang out with in Sydney and Melbourne? Not many people of interest, really. So... Fields was advertised as having four more nights on the Tuesday of the Melbourne Cup, but he didn't do the four nights.
Oh, so something happened.
We think something happened, yes. So I assume that Hattie's story, seeing it was told so much later, was actually referring to something that happened at the Melbourne Cup, because usually The last night of a performer of Field's stature would have been advertised with huge advertising.
Yeah.
But that just didn't happen. So the night he was supposed to have his last night, he was in Sydney on his way out of Australia. So we think something happens. Yeah.
Leanne Richards is with us as our guest. Leanne's an historian. She's a juggler herself. And we're talking about the presence in Australia of W.C. Fields, famous, of course, for his movies later and his comedic persona. But in the early 1900s, he was here. 1903, was it?
When 1903,
he
came? Three. First
he was,
time.
He was here. He was brought out here on the Tivoli theatre circuit as a juggler. He was a very expert juggler. Did he came back more than once, did he?
He did. He came back in 1914.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the start of the war.
Just before the start of the war, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he like the place?
He did not like Australia.
Right.
Yes.
Why?
Well, the stories are that he got into quite a few fights when he was here, mainly about in 1903 about Hattie. He was apparently very possessive of his wife.
Right.
The second time he came here with a lady called Maud Findick.
Mm-hmm.
He and Hattie had separated by then, by 1914. But he was still getting into fights. He had a bit of a temper. And there is a story about him. He did tell people that he was thrown into the clink in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think he had a really pleasant time, though he was very well paid and very well liked over here. So, yeah.
He was an expert juggler, as you say, and that was the basis of his act.
Yeah.
And if you care to go back and look on if you Google these things, you can see how expert he was, actually. And even though later in his films, Leanne, he, of course, develops this persona as a kind of, you know, permanently inebriated every man struggling against the depredations of his wife and children,
yes.
which became the basis of his comedic persona in a
it
way.
It did, yeah.
He was the little guy against the world and with the help of the bottle, this wasn't a feature of his life when he was a juggler, though, was he? Because he couldn't be on the booze and juggle for obvious reasons. Being coordinated and on the booze were mutually exclusive. So he wasn't a big drinker at that stage.
No. You couldn't drink and you really can't drink and juggle at a high standard. So I doubt he was drinking that much when he was here. So the word is that he wasn't drinking that much. He played a lot of golf and he was trying this persona out of being a bit of a Wild West cowboy.
Right.
So he would talk about horse riding and being out in the West and being an American cowboy.
Even though he couldn't do any of that.
No, he couldn't do any of that, but he would say that. And
because I suppose here in Australia, that's what we wanted, wasn't it?
I guess it would be trying to appeal to that sort of outback sort of thing we have going.
Did he ever come back after 1914?
No, he was invited back in 1918, but by that time he was performing with the Ziegfeld Follies in the United States. And, of course, the money he made from that, we would not have been able to match that, I don't think.
Of course, then he went on during the 30s, didn't he, to have really quite a very successful film career.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's unusual because when you think of films nowadays, it's all about young people, but Fields was quite old.
He was in his 50s and
60s,
wasn't he?
Yeah, when he became
a film star, he was in his 50s. That's right.
So, thinking of today's stars, you'd probably think that was quite an old age for him to start.
No, he wasn't a leading man, W.C. Fields.
No.
But he was.
Think so.
But if you see the films, you'll see what I mean. There's a classic. What I'm trying to think. It's a Gift, I think, the film, which is a sort of an early version of the National Lampoon's Vacation movie.
Oh, really?
It's very, very funny. Yeah. But don't underestimate his skill, though, because as a juggler yourself, you know how tough it is. It's pretty hard, isn't it? I mean, juggling three balls, particularly the sandfield ones, which a lot of people have probably had a go at, is achievable.
Mm.
But juggling any more than three is pretty difficult.
Well,
how many can you juggle?
I can juggle five balls.
That's pretty
fairly
good.
Competently, and five clubs, not very competently, but I give it a shot. So
But he could juggle. He juggled books and cigar boxes and
He juggled anything. So at the time he was here, a lot of it was juggling everyday objects.
Okay.
So you'll find that jugglers that came here during that era, they were juggling anything. They were juggling cigars. They were juggling people. They were juggling cigar boxes. They were juggling anything they could get their hands on. Hats in particular were very popular, of course.
Yeah. That's right. The hat was a big thing for him, of course, the oversized top hat. of W.C. Fields.
Yeah.
And, yes, and he never juggled children, I'm sure, because his later on-screen persona of being permanently at war with kids, of course.
Probably.
Never work with children or animals.
That's right. That's what he said. Yes, yes, yes. But there are people who juggle children.
Are there?
Yeah, there's a lady in Taiwan that gets one of those long sticks with buckets on the side, and she puts children in them and juggles them with her feet. She lies on her back and she juggles it with her feet. She's great. I love her. She's great. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Leanne Richards has been our guest. She's an historian and juggler. We've been talking about the great comedic talents and probably not so aware of the great juggling talents of W.C. Fields, who came here to Australia in the early part of the 20th century. Leanne, terrific to have your time. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.